I want to go ahead, since MSA has given us what they've already gotten put together, do new business first, if that's okay. The next scheduled meeting that we have, I want to invite Mark Miller, the attorney, and Rob Murphy down here so we can talk about the process to get some of the property annexed in going north of the village. And that way, Rob wants to see that kind of move forward sooner than later and see exactly what his vision is and kind of what the board's vision is for how far out they want to go. So that's what I'd like to do. If anybody has any comment on it or suggestions of anybody else you'd like to have from the board or whatnot. Anything? Okay.
We don't have anything on that east or the east side, do we, up there?
No, but, and that's why I want Rob and Mark here when we start talking about that, because there's some areas up there that are in our school district that there's some stuff south that touches it that's not
annexed. Do we go to Airport Road or?
You're doing the west side.
West side, okay.
Because I know on that east side, I think Kane, one time we tried to get all that in, he fought us tooth and nail. He just said no way, no how, that he was going to annex into the village. So.
Okay.
And I don't know what's become of that since, but that's been years ago. But,
okay. Yeah. So yeah, we'll talk to the village attorney and Rob and kind of see what their thoughts are on it. And
which area are you talking about?
Mostly west, all the way up to Monticello Road.
Okay.
All the way up to the airport and then to Duncan. And then
there was
a couple of conversations about some stuff out east here and then a little bit further north on the east side of 45. Okay. Like I said, some of that's already in our school district and it's a FOIA address, but there's property to the south that's not annexed in anywhere.
Okay. Well, I know you said Steerwaltz is. What about the only foundation? Is that?
Yes, that's already, that whole strip and...
What about Fisher's right north of it? Or is that Fisher?
No, the farmland's not.
Okay.
But that industrial park is already annexed in. There's one little sliver over where Area Disposal just moved out of. That needs to get done as well. And it's pretty well landlocked. And Mark has a better understanding. There was some handshake agreement or something with Savoy a long time ago that he knows about that he's supposed to be researching. Okay. So we can get that done. Then that whole area right there is all annexed in to the village. So
you're pretty much talking about the section from Fowler Road to Monticello Road and then a mile west?
Yes, from here north and then back west to Duncan Road. So, all right, nobody's here for public comments. So we'll go ahead and turn over to Greg. Let him introduce himself.
Yeah, I'm Greg Crow with MSA, client service manager, project planner also. I'm filling in for Stephanie, and we'll be finishing up the project for Stephanie. This is going to be Stephanie's last week with MSA, so Dave and I have been able to get with her, and she's brought us up to speed on what's going on with the project. But myself and then with Dave's help, we'll be finishing up the project. And as you know, Dave was with Philo and went through their...
I met you guys for a couple meetings and
took over. So I know Philo... led a lot of this for us working on this project, so Dave's very familiar with that. So I used to work for the city of Decatur prior to being with MSA, just like Stephanie did. Stephanie actually worked for me in Decatur and then came over to MSA, but I oversaw our planning and zoning department while I was at Decatur and oversaw our zoning ordinance and chaired our planning meetings and zoning meetings, so very familiar with working with zoning regulations. So I don't see any issues that will come up and being able to finish up this project. From talking with Dave and Stephanie, I know the gist of this is to simplify and reduce and just get down to the meat of what's needed in the zoning district. So Stephanie told me, she had me print out articles 3, 5, and 6 to go over at the meeting today, which is Article 3 is districts and boundaries, and then has that use table in it. And then Article 5 is agricultural district. Article 6 is residential suburban district. and the development standards that go along with those two districts. Were you anticipating anything different to be going over at this meeting?
No.
I think that's what we got sent, yeah, so.
Okay. Is there any questions you have for Dave or I before we jump into these? All right, so Article 3. From my understanding is you had gotten through the use table with Stephanie already, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're good with all of the...
I had one question about the use table. I was kind of looking through, I kind of glanced through it. And
okay.
What I write the note down here. Cell towers, is that in there anyway? The radio and television station towers kind of rang out, and I was kind of looking. I glanced through it real quick, but I didn't see. Cell towers came to mind, and I didn't really see anything in there.
Yeah, we could specify. Do you think the uses would be the same as the radio or television tower and station? Or
I'm guessing, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Like I said, it just came to mind. Like I said, when I was looking through it, when it kind of.
Is it like a satellite dish or what?
The cell towers, like out.
Oh, the big one. Not something. Yeah. Not something that he puts up in his yard.
Right.
Something.
Yeah.
Got it.
So there's a under public and quasi-public facilities at
right.
the bottom of that page. There's radio or television towers.
Right.
Station.
Yeah. That's what kind of jogged my memory. So or yeah, but radio and television. Nothing about phone, which I imagine that would kind of fall in that same category.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if we need to specify that with it in there too, or
as long as you're, we specify that, and as long as you're good with, so it's provisional use in ag, and residential, suburban, commercial, the two commercial districts, industrial, and then permitted by right for plan development.
Just trying to look the board members' items and change some on me. Is this a meeting that's open to the public or not?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's the planning and
started already?
This is the planning and zoning board.
This isn't the village board.
No.
That's what I'm trying to get at, because nobody here looks like the board member.
They'll start in about 45 minutes.
Okay, they're going to be tonight. That's what I thought. 7 o'clock, and I thought, why are they doing their work so early?
Yeah.
All right, I'll come
6:30.
6:30.
See, I could check on that to see if it makes sense to add that there.
Okay,
special regulations.
Yeah, I didn't.
Radio television.
Just glancing through it real quick, like I said, I didn't really look at much of the. Yeah, I just looked at, saw that, didn't see it anywhere anyway, so.
Anything else on the use table, or?
That's about the only thing that really kind of stuck out with me anyway.
Okay. Principal, accessory, and temporary uses. I didn't see many comments from Stephanie until the ATMs and donation boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So she was wondering if it makes sense for this to be in this section. And so you were adding donation boxes into this, right? Yeah, ATMs was in previously.
Yeah.
Okay. But did you already go over that the same requirements for ATMs make sense for donation boxes, or?
I can't remember. I know we talked about it, but I don't know.
I think she said she was going to look into it further. I don't think we really ever came to.
Did you guys bring up Goodwill or something like that?
What's
up? What do we have up here on the corner?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, the donation boxes are at the dentist and the.
I think she was going to look into that, because of the private property use and things like that. Or something to that effect.
So right now it's. It can be located within 50 feet of any lot line of a residential district. It needs to be on arterial or collector street.
Hmm.
obviously the stacking requirements for drive-in uses, I don't know if that's not going to be needed for a donation box. Mm-hmm. So I think the real question is location of them.
Right.
Yeah.
If you want to restrict that to within no residential districts, obviously, and then can't be within 50 feet.
Yeah.
So I think both of those, I think A and B both make sense. We probably still want them on arterial collector streets.
Yeah, I would think so too.
Did Stephanie mention something about the street classifications too?
Yeah, we've taken those out of all of the use, the lot setbacks. There used to be specific lot setbacks by street classification.
Right. Street definition?
Yeah, but we're taking those out.
I didn't know if that still applied to this donation box, you think?
We probably could take it out. It's probably redundant with the residential use. I mean, I think that's probably the biggest thing is that you don't want it in a residential district. You're too close to a residential
right,
district.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I
yeah.
So I think we'll change A to all the ATMs and donation boxes shall not be located, and then B would be specific just to ATMs. So I don't think donation boxes is just people driving up, getting out, dropping stuff in. That's not.
I think we have like two.
No, drive
we have
it.
Two.
The dentist office and the track side.
Yep.
And do you want to limit how many are there? Because at one time that one at Trackside, they had four there one time.
Yep. Who determines?
Is it the property owner or is that?
Yeah, like who
well, I'm sure it's their property. I'm
and
sure
is somebody paying them to have that on their property or are they asked? Like I would imagine since it's donation boxes, maybe Trackside is offering the space or do you know?
I don't know how that's what's worked out with them.
I mean, I would imagine they wouldn't want to put more than.
The biggest issue I've seen with them is that people put things on the outside of
yeah.
them and then block the
them.
Driveway
yeah.
and then put things
that
aren't supposed
that.
To go in them
right.
in there. But I don't think that's anything we can.
I mean, I realize we can't limit what people are putting in them, but
yeah.
can we limit people reading? I mean, I guess there's not a whole lot we can do.
You gotta be able to enforce it though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It could be a thing too where the property owner has to call them and say one more time and they're gone or something. I don't know. It would
but
probably
again,
be on.
How would they know?
I mean, it would fall under property enforcement, and it's going to be a nuisance if it's
mm-hmm.
piling all over the place. It's basically just going to fall
yeah,
under
that,
trash
yeah,
and debris.
Like I said, I think that's one of the big issues, and they get filled up, and then things all piled up around them.
Or they drop off things that they don't collect, and they leave mm-hmm. them there. And
TVs
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's going to fall on the property owner, not the owner of the donation box.
Yeah.
But you should already have property code enforcement
okay.
regulations to cover that.
Right.
What would they find or the business owner or no?
I'm sure that could be. They'd probably
yes.
get a letter first or something.
Letter, yeah.
And then,
get small town. Yeah.
Yeah. Start small and
yeah.
go big.
Right. Yeah, the village's attorney would send out a letter to the
yeah.
property owner saying there's trash and debris that's collected
yeah.
and that's in violation of our code enforcement.
Kind of like a house.
Property enforcement.
Yeah, kind of
yeah.
a house that's run
yeah.
down or whatever. Mm-hmm. You kind of get a few letters sent
yeah.
in to clean it up.
Or a car, abandoned car
right.
on there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did anybody else have anything else prior to that section under principal accessory and temporary uses?
Would B go under home occupation, or is that where it needs to be? Under temporary uses, the home parties?
No, I think that still falls under temporary use
okay.
because it's a limited period of time and it's going to discontinue. So I think it meets the definition of temporary use.
Okay.
On D, I had one more, I guess, note. I know some subdivision ordinances regulate some of that stuff. And I don't know if the if it's worth putting like a note in or something, because I know if someone doesn't know they're in a subdivision, some of these subdivisions are, you know, just a couple houses or something. If someone wants to do something and it's not allowed in that subdivision,
right.
A note saying, or as, you know,
specified in,
but in your subdivision ordinance or something. Because
yeah.
Someone might just come up and grab this and look at, okay, I can put an outbuilding in or something, and it's not required, it's not permitted
right.
under their subdivision or something.
I thought we talked about that one of the meetings earlier.
Yeah.
There
yeah, we did kind of a little bit.
Yeah, because the zoning enforcer for the village really has no responsibility to enforce
yeah.
the homeowners coverage.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I just
homeowners association has usually, well, let's put this back. They have to abide by the codes of the
village and then set.
And if they've got a more stringent requirement,
right.
then they have to abide by the
yeah.
homeowners association.
Yeah.
And then the homeowners association can actually fine them and other things and
right.
to make them. And it can be anywhere from a picket fence to a mailbox to white color
yeah.
or whatever. But the village zoning enforcer is really not responsible to enforce
right.
the homeowners code.
Yeah.
But I thought we were going to, I thought there was mention about saying something like that, subject to
subdivision
yeah.
requirements or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
They need to be their responsibility to review the
right. Yeah, and that's what yeah, I didn't know. Like I said, because like I said, someone comes up and just, oh, it says here I can do it. But
yes.
And just, I mean, they might not think their subdivision ordinance doesn't require it, and it might set off a bell or say, oh, I better check or something.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think because somebody attached a gazebo or something that brought this on.
Yeah.
Do we know if the HOAs here, Kinderwood or Deer Path, have like an architectural committee?
I don't know if they have an architectural committee or not. I know some of them are pretty active. They got some pretty active boards though, but I don't know how stringent they get as far as some of that stuff. But
okay.
I would be surprised if they don't have one set up. Most of the ones that I'm familiar with, they at least set up initially, and then after the development gets 75% complete, the developer turns it over to the homeowners association.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I think most of the rules and regulations and bylaws require them to have an architectural committee.
Okay.
And grounds committee and so forth and so on. Because that's really the only way to get their code enforced, the homeowners association.
So if something we have is set, like, say we say it's a 30-foot setback from the front.
Correct.
They can't say, well, you can do a 25-foot.
Mm-hmm.
No,
they can
only
be
do anything
stricter.
Higher.
They cannot
be.
Okay. Yeah.
35.
And vice versa. If
yeah.
you said it was 25, they could restrict it to 30.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And okay. if they went and pleaded to the homeowners association, sometimes there's a grievance, and they could release it down to something no less than what the building requires.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
basically, we set the minimums,
yes.
and then that's
correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested to see what some of their minimum stuff is in their covenants. I'm going to try to get some of that this week.
Do we have any of those?
I actually worked on Deer Path for Frank Kenhead.
Mm-hmm.
I believe way back when.
I can call Chicago Tile and get them from there
yeah,
as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's recorded with RD.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So maybe just generally somewhere adding language about for informationally only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Associations.
Yeah.
So
and I don't know if it'd
really
be like,
responsibility
yeah.
to body
yeah.
I don't know if it'd be like in a general note, you know,
yep.
somewhere in the yeah.
Okay.
There's only three HOAs here, right? Kinderwood or Deer Path, Kinderwood, and then there one more just south of Deer Path, or is it all Deer Path?
I bet you those condos, those yellow
yeah.
condos, those aren't Deer Path. They probably have something, would be my guess.
The condo association right there on James.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a bunch of like little small subdivisions, but they're not really.
Yeah.
And there are some restrictions on them. Like mine is, I mean, there's, you know, 7 or 8 houses in it, and we don't have any board or anything, but, you know, there's some restrictions in there, like outbuildings and things, but.
What's your subdivision?
I think it's Gunning.
Okay.
Subdivision.
I didn't even know that one existed.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of small, you know, someone, some
yeah.
farmer had a plot of land
okay.
or whatever. And, yeah.
All right, anything on rules of interpretation for uses, 3.602? Point 603 accessory use. 3.604 standards.
No, I didn't have anything there.
Requirements for home occupation under E. Stephanie had the note to check with Mark about if recent changes in laws affect products being shipped or delivered.
Yeah.
Maybe next month when he's if he's at that meeting, we can talk to him about that.
I just saw your typo at M. 10 o'clock.
Oh yeah.
And I think O is 1 ton maximum load. Loop. O.
Okay.
French Tony.
Under temporary uses, we're gonna move A 3, 4, 5. We'll move those to the sign article.
Oh, here.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's better to. Had you gotten into signage much?
Not too much, I don't think, did we? She talked, we kind of touched on it. But
okay.
Yeah.
It's usually best as a separate section.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what she was talking about. We got talking about election signs and things like that.
Yeah.
And she thought it would be best, yeah, kind of put it all in,
yes.
under one thing. And
it's one of the most litigious parts of zoning ordinances.
Yeah.
There's new laws that come along quite often that change things, so. You don't have to change in a bunch of sections if you need to.
I do know that there was some stuff with real estate signs that's come up recently where some complaints were filed, not with the village, but with Champaign County Association of Realtors.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, it said, honey, stop the car. And I guess in our ordinance, it says you can't use the word stop. And they removed it. And then there was another one just on 45 where she had 6 or 7 coming soon signs. It looked like the property was for sale, or it was in getting ready to be on the market, and then our ordinance says one sign, and you may know more on the signage part of it than I do, but I think there's something with CCR says you can't have more than one per frontage.
I believe that's correct with CCAR, but most of the time it's typically, the cities themselves are more like strict than CCARs.
And our ordinance says one per frontage, and there was 5 or 6. So there's only one there now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that was definitely kind of interesting because I got a phone call on that one from CCAR on it, asking what our ordinances were. So, because they couldn't find them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll go through that article when we get to it and make sure it meets all. Current regulations and current law. And you, we'll need to check to see if there's.
Because, yeah, we definitely had that conversation some because we talked about like the different banners
mm-hmm.
and like
mm-hmm.
stuff for just events for day of, and we did talk through that. I just don't remember everything that we discussed.
Yeah, you can regulate time for temporary
yeah.
signs. You can do that. No, you can't. Regulate content for any signage.
Okay. Because, yeah, freedom of speech.
Yep. So you have to be consistent with. So you can have permanent signage versus temporary signage.
Okay.
You can have some specific requirements for temporary signage where it can only be out for so many days and there can be different size requirements and number for temporary signage versus permanent signage.
And then we had an issue a while back about a sign blocking visibility on 45. Mm-hmm. It was probably a year ago.
Okay.
And that was a big issue. You couldn't see to turn right.
Yeah, and that's always not allowed.
Because it was a big...
And it was on the state right away.
Okay.
So I remember us having those conversations.
Is this as far as on people's properties or just like in and around town?
These are for individual properties. So the all zoning ordinance is only regulating property.
Okay.
It's not regulating anything in the right of way.
Okay.
Or is that what you're asking? Or?
Well, I was just thinking about there was like an incident in, I grew up in Paxton.
Mm-hmm.
Like years ago, there was a man who was a convicted felon. But anyways, he got out of jail. He lived near the sheriff in Paxton, the chief of police, and he put signs in his yard, like, disparaging the chief of police and, like, giant spotlights on him. And it became, like, a really, really big ordeal in town. And I was just wondering, like, I wonder if they would have had some kind of zoning ordinance if they could have legally made him remove that.
No. As long as he met the size requirements.
That's interesting.
Yeah. There's nothing limiting you.
So you can pretty much put anything on a sign you want to.
Pretty much.
Okay.
As long as the sign's legal.
Yes, exactly.
Legal
signs.
Yeah.
More like limited, no profanity.
So there is limitations.
Very, very, very limited.
Very limited. Okay.
Well, Sodom had that issue with that guy in that house too. He's spray painted all that stuff on the house. Yeah. And
really?
There's nothing they could do about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he actually decorated the side of his house, or the side of his house. You can add that to your sign ordinance. That
might not be bad. Yeah.
That can be classified as a sign.
Well, if it's advertising, that's the
case. Well, it wasn't advertising. I mean, he was mad at the village, and he was writing things on his house about it. And so,
well, you could do that as trying to advertise a message.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right. So then, Article 5, Agricultural District. So she's just started getting into these different districts. It doesn't look like she changed anything from what was scattered throughout here. She just compiled it all together. So we have the development and performance standards now going to be under each one of these districts. So the lot requirements, setbacks, floor area ratio, open space ratio, and maximum height are the exact same as what was in there before. Did anybody want to talk about any changes to any of that? Or
good? No, the format looks good. And that was the big thing, was making it user-friendly.
Now the question is the provisional and special uses. You have a lengthy current special use, provisional special use article. And there is some stuff that is specific for in that article for different districts, but they're all laid out in that use table. So our thoughts are, and she has this listed right now under ag and residential suburban, I don't think there's going to need to be a separate section for that under each article. I think the main thing is we want to look at the provisional and special use article and really slim that down to basically just what is needed for an application and a permit and the process that goes into that. And then all the uses are listed out in that use table, so what is considered provisional or special use is already listed there, and we can refer back to that table. Is everybody good with that?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
because there's like requirements for livestock sales facilities and stockyards in the Ag 1 and industrial districts 5.3.17. But I think that's already in the use table, so I don't think that's necessarily needed. If there's, so I think you had that in there because then you put in some specific requirements of those types of uses. My recommendation would be to take all that stuff out and just deal with everything on a permit basis if it's going to be a provisional or special use.
Makes sense. I mean, if we're, if it's special enough to actually mention it by name,
right,
then just put it in the uses table.
Yeah. Has it been that these types of uses have come along and as you've dealt with them, you've amended the ordinance? Or does anybody know, amended and added these in?
I've never, yeah, stuff like that, really, yeah, we have never, since I've been on, have dealt with it, and I was, you know, here when they did these, we're doing these, the current ones now. I think they just pulled them off the old, the ones before that, the, these even, and stuck them back in there, I think, but I don't think we really had anything come up on it.
So I think definitely for the next meeting, I will go through this provisional special uses article a little more closely and try to slim that down and then pull out some areas where we will need to have some discussion on what we want to do. But I think for the most part, all those types of uses will just be in the use table and everything will be.
I do think some of this gets a little more detailed.
Yeah, that's the question. Do you need to be detailed with all those?
For the one, for instance, that I'm looking at for the bars and taverns, they need to have, you know, no activity outside without a permit.
Okay.
So how do you put that into the table? You know what I mean? Like, because I know that one is utilized.
Mm-hmm. When they get a special use, so that's for that use, as long as that use is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Greg pointed out that when you apply for that special use, you can do requirements because it is a special use.
Yep.
You can
yeah.
tack on, when they come apply for that special use, you can tack on anything you want to tack on.
You wouldn't have to have that in the ordinance. It would run with the permit with that use on that property.
Yes.
I guess my question is, how do I know that I need a permit for that?
Because
if it's not, I mean, that wouldn't be one of those
outdoor activities on those.
Yeah.
That.
Those taverns and bars.
So it's
just
like
a permitted
a,
use.
You know,
a tavern in a residential district or like a neighborhood. A neighborhood establishment versus down on the railroad track or whatever.
There, it's any tavern that has anything outside has to get a special use.
Okay.
So if they're going to have a band outside of their premise.
So that's an event type of use.
Yeah.
Then. That's an event
yeah.
permit almost type of thing.
How many they get a year?
During the summer, I would say Lou and Denny's does half a dozen.
No,
at
I mean,
least.
How many can they get a year?
Oh,
no.
I don't think we restrict
think
how many.
Oh, we don't? Okay.
No, but what they do restrict is
okay.
only one is allowed at a time.
Okay. Gotcha.
So they won't let, from my understanding, they won't let multiple bars do them at the same time.
Right.
They'll let one
except
evening.
For fun days. I think they waived it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I think Lou and Denny's is the only one that ever has one.
Downtown, they do, too.
Don't
yeah,
they?
I think
Bruce
Cobra
has.
Does.
Yeah.
Does he do something?
Yeah.
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 Then they have loosened that up.
I think
they didn't have
anything.
I think
down the street,
just
don't they? I think they even close down the street, don't they? They have in the past.
Not
in the past couple
I think
years.
Last year they just set kind of fencing up and they had
yeah.
like a big
okay.
beer garden outside Loose
okay.
Cobra and they
yeah.
had a stage with a band.
But I think they missed a lot.
And Loose Cobra, I feel like, has had special
I just know,
the last couple
yeah.
weeks.
It's been my understanding that the board really wants to control that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you, okay.
Well, and that's just my understanding. I could be misspeaking
no,
on that completely.
I agree with you.
I would
that.
Think they'd want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you want those to show up?
So that's
so,
what I was saying. I just
so
don't know
the,
how that goes into
yeah.
a table.
So an example, tavern or nightclub, it's provisional use in commercial business and commercial neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want, so we could list like that example on agriculture, we have this provisional special uses.
Mm-hmm.
We could then just list out all of those special requirements under that, under each district.
Okay.
Okay. So I could take what's in this separate article now, put those in here.
So in the like the commercial district, then it has.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then next meeting we can go through
those. I mean, that makes more sense anyways because it'll be right there.
Yeah.
In the section it needs to be in.
Right. And then we won't need all this extra language then either.
Yeah.
But I'll get all those in there, and then we can go through them one by one and decide if we really need that in there or not.
Okay.
And we might end up with some duplication, because there's going to be, those provisional uses are going to be in multiple districts, but I still think it'll be better in the district article versus a separate article.
Yeah, because just certain things like under the daycare centers, outdoor activities shall only be permitted between 8 and 6. That doesn't translate to a table to me. But that might just be. And do we need to regulate that? I don't know.
Do we even need to?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
I guess if you live next to a daycare, you have to run around at midnight or something.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but there's noise ordinances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That you would already have to abide by, so that's kind of an odd.
Well, you got financial institutions shall not be open between the hours of 9 p.m. and 7 a.m.
I know, I saw that too, and I'm like,
I quit. Yeah. Or I work abusive.
Yeah, I think once we see all those laid out, we can start cleaning those up, right? And I can make some recommendations on
those. Those are clearly like taken from other, like that's never come up. There's no reason why.
Right. I think she had talked about that too. Some of like in the daycare about having a valid Illinois that state law requires that anyway.
Right.
Things like
exactly.
Some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of different places where it was like just put in there must follow Illinois state law.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I remember. Yeah, that's what she recommended. Don't spell out what the current law is, because it will change.
Right, just tell them that, make them go
right.
Look for it, just reference it or whatever.
So
yeah.
One person can watch 8 kids or or whatever that might change to 10 kids.
Exactly.
Right. Change to 6 kids.
Well, that'll definitely be a good task for the next meeting. And prior to that, I'll go through all this and synthesize it, figure out what is already covered somewhere else by state or something else that I don't think is needed. Others that are either redundant or not needed anymore, and then ones that may be needed and want confirmation from you. But I'll put all of them in there and classify them. Article 6, residential suburban district. Same thing with that one. Purpose, use for the see the table 3.1, and then the development performance standards. Nothing changed from what's in your current ordinance. It was just pulled and put under that specific district. Get all of that added for each of the districts, and then we can talk about the provisional special uses under each of the districts then also next time. I don't think I had anything else.
This is seeming a lot more user friendly. Where we're headed.
Yes. For sure.
So how much time do you need to get prepared before we meet again?
When is?
Couple of weeks. We don't have anything set, but we need to go ahead and get a date tonight.
Okay.
Couple weeks, three
yeah,
weeks?
Yeah, couple weeks. Be fine.
Okay.
July 2nd, huh?
You guys are going to be gone, aren't you?
We're not going to be out of town.
That's 4th of July.
But other, yeah, yeah, there's a lot going on that weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Happy.
I'm going to be gone the next week, which is not that big a deal. Again.
What's your typical second and
first and third?
Usually first and third.
Yeah. But that's when the board meetings are. So if you ever need to, to do the update to the board, then it's the first and third.
Okay. So the first would be on July 2nd?
The third
I'd
would
be
the 6th.
The third, probably.
Yeah, July 16th.
I'm good with either one of those.
What do you guys think?
16th, maybe, if you guys think the
yeah,
first
especially
week
if
is
you're
ugly.
Wanting to invite Rob and Mark. I don't know if either of them are planning to be around on the 2nd or not.
Is there anything else?
So the 16th?
The 16th.
What, 5:30?
Mm-hmm. Do I want to make a motion to adjourn till the 16th, 5:30?
I motion.
Second?
Second.
Okay.